Testing 1, 2. Toets, toets, 1, 2. Well, good evening, everybody. For those of you that weren't here just now when we said, how's it? How's it? Did you enjoy the worship? Amen. Were you blessed? Give the Lord a big hand, please. Come on. I know you've heard me say this many times, but the Bible says better is one day in the house of God than 1,000 days elsewhere. You name me one nice place out there in the world, God says this is better. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you made a good choice to come to church tonight. For sure you did. Amen. Well, praise God. All right. We were here a couple of months ago, and I spoke on the fire of God. And tonight I'm going to speak to you about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that that's something that all of us need a bit more of. How many of you know that you need more anointing in your life? Come on, just wave at me. Then look at your neighbor and say, you really came to the right place tonight. There we go. You really came to the right place tonight. Because I believe God's going to speak to you. And I believe God wants to help you. You know what? The Word of God says that we have to make a difference in this world. We must be a light shining in a dark world. Can you shine on your own? No, you can't. You shine when the power of God shines through you. And the one that allows that to happen is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Imagine if you walk into a very dark place. Doesn't matter what kind of place it is. It's a place where there's a lot of people doing wrong things, bad things. People are far from God. There's drug abuse. There's nonsense. There's crime. There's corruption. There's everything. And just because you walked in there, something touches every person in that place and they begin to change. Do you think that that's impossible? No, it's not impossible. Because you see, that's the property of light. Light dispels darkness. If the light of God works through you, the light of God will dispel darkness wherever you go. But the light comes from the Spirit of the living God. Why? Because our God is a consuming fire. And one of the things that happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon an individual is there is a release of fire. If you've ever spent any amount of time reading your Bible, especially in the New Testament, you will have seen that Jesus had one of the most amazing ministries of all time. You know what? We have some very big ministries on earth now. We've got people like Reinhard Bonnke. We've got people like Billy Graham. We've got people like Benny Hinn. You know, there's a lot of people out there making a big impact in this world for the kingdom of God. Do you agree with me? But you know what? When you look at these people's lives and you look at their ministries, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but compared to what Jesus did, they're not really doing much yet. Because Jesus did it all. He raised the dead. He opened the eyes of the blind. He caused the lame to walk. He did signs. He did wonders. He did miracles. And he did it effortlessly. You know, probably some of the people that come to my meetings have heard me say this, but one thing that touches me when I read about when Jesus multiplied the bread and the fish. You know, one of the reasons why Jesus multiplied the bread and the fish is because the people had been with him for 3 days and 3 nights. I want to ask you a question. What would have to happen in this church tonight for you not to want to leave for 3 days and 3 nights? For you to phone your boss on Monday morning and say, listen, yeah, if you're not going to give me leave, I don't give a, you know. I'm just staying, yeah, because this is heaven on earth. I don't want to be anywhere else. This is the place for me to be. Now you must understand how amazing the ministry of Jesus Christ was. That people didn't eat, they didn't sleep, they probably didn't even go to the toilet, probably because of the anointing they didn't need to go. How do I know? I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, it must be an amazing, phenomenal, supernatural ministry for you to sit there for 3 days and 3 nights. Not worrying about, hello, 7 de laan kom ons speel, you don't care. Hello? Okay, you probably watch Egoli. Does Egoli still run? Somebody shoot it, please. Anyway, here's the thing. That's the ministry that Jesus had. It was amazing. It was phenomenal. It was spectacular. It was powerful. It impacted people's lives. It changed people's lives. And when you went to where Jesus ministered, you would never, ever be the same again. Jesus had a very anointed and blessed ministry. Through him, the sick was healed. Miracles were performed. The dead was raised. Demons were conquered. It was amazing. Now, we could sit here and argue, why was Jesus' ministry so amazing? Why was it so powerful? Why was it so blessed? We could say, oh, but you see, Rion, he was the Son of God after all. You know, God's Son coming, walking in the flesh. Things have to happen. Yes, probably we could also say, oh, you know, but Rion, he was always obedient to God. He always did what the Father expected of him. And I believe all of those things play a role. But there's another very important element that we find in the Bible that was on the life of Jesus Christ. And we see that in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 34. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in His hands. You want to know why Jesus could speak to Lazarus after he was dead for 4 days and say, rise up? Because Jesus had the Spirit without limit. You want to know why Jesus could walk on the water? Because Jesus had the Spirit without limit. You want to know why Jesus could speak to the storm and say, be quiet, be still, be muzzled? Because Jesus had the Spirit without limit. You want to know why Jesus could say to the blind men, you will see? Because he had the Spirit of God without limit. You want to know how he turned water into wine? Because he had the Spirit of God without limit. And you see, that's what makes Jesus different from anybody else that walks the earth today. Because everybody that walks the earth today has a measure of anointing, but Jesus had the anointing without measure. And because there was no measure of the anointing upon the life of Jesus Christ, when he spoke it, it came to pass. When he touched it, fire was released. Healing was instantaneous. The woman that walked behind Jesus that had an issue of blood, she didn't even touch him. She touched the hem of his cloak somewhere down there at the bottom. And simply touching a garment that was touching his flesh, there was enough anointing and power to heal her instantly, completely, and radically. Because he had the Spirit of God without limit. I know it's not exactly the same thing, but it's like you having a cup of tea and me having the whole ocean behind me. It's like, where's the most vuma? Where's the most power? It's in the ocean. Jesus had the Spirit of God without limit. Jesus was allowed by God to be filled with the Holy Spirit in such a way that he could not run out of anointing. You know, when you pray for a lot of people, you feel the anointing start draining out of you. And I know Jesus at times was tired, but compared to me, Jesus was probably never really that tired because me, I have a little bit to give. Him, he had a lot to give. Me, my gate opens a tiny little bit. Him, his gates were wide open. It was like when the Vaal Dam is full and they open the sluices and the power, the water just, it just squirts out everywhere. That was Jesus, the Spirit of God without limit. And if we think of the Holy Spirit as the person of the Trinity who manifests the power of God, then we can also say by definition that Jesus had unlimited power. Look at your neighbor and say, unlimited power. You see, here's the thing. There is a lot of power in Satan's kingdom. And if you doubt that the devil has power, let me help you out. The devil has a lot of power. In fact, scripture says we have been delivered from the dominion, which means the power of darkness, and brought over into the kingdom of God's light, his Son. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. Even the Bible says Satan has power. Don't tell me he doesn't have power, because he does. But we have to compare apples with apples here. Satan has power in measure. The Holy Spirit is a source of infinite, unlimited power. And you know what? There's people out there that sacrifice themselves, that cry and cut themselves and do all sorts of stupid things to get some of Satan's Mickey Mouse power. And it's not going to take them very far, because there's another demon around the corner that has more power than you. If you want to go somewhere in your life, if you want to make a difference, then plug into the source of unlimited power. You will not get it from Satan. You will not get it through voodoo. You will not get it through spiritism, spiritualism. You cannot summon your dead grandmother to ask her how to do it, because she doesn't know. But there is somebody that can help you with that. It's Jesus Christ. And how does he do that? Why are you laughing? Did you try that? It didn't work very well, did it? We're laughing because she comes from a background of spiritism. You know, she was involved in that stuff. People do some crazy stuff. Now, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Listen carefully to the scripture. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, because he was anointed with power, he could go around and do good wherever he went and heal all who were under the power of the devil. I want to stop there quickly because this is a concept that a lot of people don't understand. How do you heal people that are under the power of the devil? You have to break the power of the devil over them, which means what? The symptom that gets dealt with is not natural but demonic. You know, a lot of people seem to feel that because we are children of God, because we grew up in the church, we are untouchable. The devil can't touch us. Let me help you out, my friend. You don't know what you're talking about. The devil is out there. The Bible calls him the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Yeah, I'm sorry for you. If you thought it was all Manskain and Ruisa, it's not. You know, there's something out there that doesn't like us. I don't want you to feel bad about that. Don't feel rejected, please. You should be happy that he doesn't like you. You know, when the devil likes you, you should start stressing. And you know, this might bless some people, yeah, but if you've got no problems in your life right now, probably the devil doesn't think you're worth giving a hard time. Maybe you should think about your life. That means some of us, we actually have a pretty good life because the devil gives us a lot of a hard time. Yeah, you must understand something about the devil. He's got limited power. If he's very busy in your life, he sees something in your life that he doesn't like. He wants to stop it. He wants to stay it. He doesn't want it to come to fore. The devil doesn't waste time on places where there's no time to be wasted. I want to tell you something about demons. Demons don't know your future. Demons don't know your destiny. Demons don't know your purpose. But demons can see the light of God in you. And when they see the light of God in you, they know, ooh, we got to do something to try and stop this one. They will try everything in their power to make you despondent, to make you dejected, to make you feel hopeless. They want you to say, ah, but there is no God. Why does God do this and that? I don't want to walk this road anymore. I give up. No, you're not going to give up, and I'll tell you why. If the enemy is working so hard to try and stop you, ask the question, why? I want to tell you why, because he saw something inside of you that when he saw it, he went, new underwear. Something is coming, and it's not going to be good. I hope that blesses somebody. You know, I had a difficult week because probably the devil knows there's good stuff coming in my life. Well, bless God for that. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went around doing good and healed all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Now, this scripture makes it very clear that the anointing of the Holy Spirit on Jesus' life played a crucial part in allowing Jesus to perform signs, wonders, miracles, healings, and to set people free from the power of demons. If Jesus wasn't anointed, he couldn't do any of these things. And there's a lot of people in the world right now today that try and pray for people to be healed and try and cast demons out and nothing happens, and I can tell you why. It's not because you're not called, it's not because you don't have a gifting, it's because you don't have no anointing. You know that car that brought you here tonight? It's nice, isn't it? It's better than walking. But it's only as good as the petrol in the tank. Because if I take all the petrol out, it's a glorified boat anchor because it's going to take you nowhere and it's going to do nothing. We're exactly the same. We have different outward packages. Some of us are a bit bigger, some of us are a bit taller, some of us are a bit shorter. But inside, we're different. And the only way for what is inside to come outside is for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon us. Jesus was destined to heal the sick. Jesus was destined to cleanse the leper. He was destined to open the eyes of the blind. But without the Holy Spirit, he could do nothing. If you've read the Bible, you will know that Jesus never performed any wonder, any sign, any miracle until he was baptized, which means saturated in the power of the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, boom, there he went. And let's just ask the question again. When did Satan rear his ugly head for the first time in Jesus' life? The moment he got baptized in the Holy Ghost power. Because suddenly Jesus was a threat. Before that, he wasn't a threat. The moment you receive anointing and power from God, you become a threat to the devil. Don't panic about it. Don't stress about it. Give him back what he gives to you. Because now you become dangerous. Look at your neighbor and say, I choose to be dangerous. Not despondent, not dejected, not hopeless, not in despair. I choose to be dangerous. Yeah, give the Lord a big hand. Amen. Praise God. The Word of God depicts the anointing of the Holy Spirit in different ways. Symbolically, the anointing is represented by, listen carefully, fire, water, wind, wine, by a dove, by oil, by breath. And when the anointing begins to manifest, it can come in the form of any one of the symbols revealed to us in the Word of God. And tonight I want to look with you just very quickly at these different type of anointings. Because it is the same person that gives the anointing, but there is a different focus on every anointing when it manifests. When the Holy Spirit comes with fire, the purpose is different from when he comes in water. It's different from when he comes in oil. It's different from when he comes in breath. It's different from when he comes as a rushing mighty wind. Let's look at the fire anointing. When the anointing manifests as a fire, what would you say, what is one of the properties of fire? Well, the biggest property of fire is it destroys anything it touches. There is nothing that can survive a fire. Okay, we're not talking about gold and silver and all of that type of stuff. Pretty much everything that you see in this building, when a really strong fire comes, by the time it's finished, there's nothing here but scorched earth. Fire is extremely destructive. Now, let's ask the question, what is there in this world that God might want to destroy? No, not your mother-in-law. What's wrong with you? No. I was thinking more in the line of the spirit of fear, the spirit of restlessness, sleeplessness, the spirit of rejection, the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of anger, the spirit of witchcraft, the spirit of sorcery, the spirit of torment. Every devil, every demon, every spirit, every curse out there knows that when the fire of God comes, there's problems. Why? Because God deals with the enemy and the works of darkness in fire. When the Holy Ghost comes and the fire of God begins to move, the devil knows, he komedung, things are going to get very hot. Did you bring your asbestos underwear? What if the fire of God comes down tonight? What are you going to do? Okay, we'll have to cross that bridge when we get there, won't we? But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting. I want to tell you something. We need more of the fire of God. Amen. We need more of the cleansing, purifying, and yes, destructive fire of God. And I want to say something to you. The fire of God will not destroy you. The fire of God will not destroy you, but it might destroy something with you. Amen. It might destroy that temper that every now and then flares up and gives everybody a hard time. I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I'm just using you as an example. It might destroy that fear that sits at the pit of your stomach and doesn't allow you to live your life in victory. It might destroy that curse that is upon your life that makes it impossible for you to be prosperous because everything you touch falls apart. Without the fire, you can't deal with it. And the fire comes with the anointing, and the anointing comes from the Holy Spirit of God. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yes, you do. And there's a lot of people in this place that knows exactly what I'm talking about. When the fire of God begins to burn, things begin to happen. I want to tell you something. The devil very rarely sits up and takes notice. And there's a lot of people out there that tell the devil to footsack, and the devil's just like, what are you talking about? You talking to me? But there's some people that say to the devil, footsack, and the fire just comes, and the devil's just gone. Which one do you want to be? I don't want to be the first one. But I insist on being the second one. Because there's only one way to deal with the works of darkness, and that is with fire. Darkness cannot consume fire. Have you ever seen when you're outside? How many of you like to braai? Is there anybody here that likes to braai? Okay, me, I like to braai. I'm a proper boerki, so we have to braai. It's built into us. It's part of our DNA. So, Have you ever had a situation where it's the middle of the night and you try and make a fire, and as soon as the fire wants to get going, the darkness just envelops it and sucks it out, and it can't get going? No. Because you see, this is how the properties of fire works. Fire, or the power of fire, expels darkness. Darkness does not expel fire. You can light one tiny little match, which has very little power, but it has enough power to push away the darkness. How much more is going to happen when the power of God begins to move in a place? The darkness will cease to exist. What is Satan called? He's called the Prince of. So how do we deal with him effectively? Through the fire of the Holy Ghost, through the anointing of fire. Psalm 97 verse 3 says, a fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. Satan knows that. And he hopes we don't understand how these things work. He hopes we don't understand that we need the fire of God if we want to deal with the works of darkness. If you don't have the fire of God, if you don't have the fire anointing in your life, you cannot deal with the works of darkness. But if you have the fire anointing, that fire will go before you too and consume your foes on every side. That's awesome, my friend. And that's where we need to get with our lives. Isaiah 10:27 says, and it shall come to pass that in that day his burden shall be taken away from off of your shoulders, and his yoke from off of your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. When the anointing and the power of God is manifested, the yoke of the evil one, it could be the yoke of slavery. Let's put it out there. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, you're addicted to something you don't want to be addicted to. No, I can't pray for you for the things that you like, because they're not going to go nowhere. But there might be things you don't like and you want to get rid of them, but you're addicted. It's a yoke. How is the yoke destroyed? Because of the anointing. Which anointing? The anointing of fire. When the anointing of fire comes down, destruction reigns on the enemy and he loses ground very quickly. The second anointing that we're going to look at is the water anointing. The anointing can manifest as a fire because sometimes that is what's needed. But then there's other times when fire would be a waste. That's not what's needed. And then the Holy Spirit comes and moves like water. So the anointing can also manifest as water. And the water anointing, what would you say, what are the properties of water? Water gives life. Oh, my friend. Is there anybody in this place tonight that says, you know what, yes, I have a life, but surely there's more? Just come on. Don't be shy. Yes, I have a life, but I know there's more. Guess which anointing you're asking for? You're asking for the water anointing, because when the water comes, it quenches your thirst. It satisfies you. It refreshes you. It invigorates you. It gives you life. I want to tell you something about life. We go through trials. We go through tribulations. We go through problems. We go through destructive things. People stab us in the back. People slander our names. Lots of unfair things happen to us, and that sucks the life right out of you. Sometimes you get to a place, I can't even get up out of bed in the mornings because I can't face the world. Which anointing do you need? The water anointing. Why? Because when the water anointing touches you, life enters back into you. We're all the same. Nobody can just keep going and going and going and going. There's going to come a time when your vuma is gone. And when that water anointing touches you, suddenly your spirit gets strength. I think you've all seen, you know, out there by me, I live on a plot. It didn't rain there for like 2 months or something like that. And they're busy working on the roads there. They're doing all sorts of stuff. Man, the dust is something horrible. And the grass was gone. My grass was gone. And then it rained for 2 days, 3 days in a row. It rained. Now when you look out the window, it's green. It takes one or two drops of water to bring life where you thought there was no life. I want to say something, and I'm speaking to a couple of people here. You think it's over, but it's not. One or two drops of water, and by that I mean the Holy Spirit, and you'll see what will happen. Amen. You know what? In the natural, God shows us how this stuff works. Water, physical water, has the same properties as the Holy Spirit. When it comes down, it changes everything. A desert can become an oasis if water is just released. So there's some of you here, you need that water anointing to replenish your soul and your spirit, to give you that vuma to go on. John 7:37, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him." I want to ask you a question. How many of you can relate to the analogy that I used just now, that your spirit is like empty? The trials, the tribulations, the problems have knocked you. You don't have the energy to get up in the mornings. You feel that you're dragging your body. It's just too much. Come on, wave at me. Yeah, it's most of you, isn't it? So guess what? Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty. No, he doesn't say go to the local pub and order a beer. You see, that's where we make the mistake. He says, come to me and drink. Some of you are tired. Some of you have no strength. You have no energy. You have no will to go on because your spirit is worn out. Your spirit is dry. Your spirit looks like a desert wasteland. But when the water of God is released into that desert wasteland, have you ever seen what Namakwalant looks like when those flowers suddenly come? It's like, wow, where did that come from? It was always there. Just at a certain time when there's enough water, there's enough moisture, boom, everything changes. God can change your life in an instant. There are many people out there who are thirsty. And unfortunately, they try and find nourishment, refreshment. They try and quench their thirst with all the wrong things. Alcohol, drugs, immorality. There's a long list. Add your own things there. But I want to say something to you. If it is your spirit that is dry, if it is your spirit that is thirsty, Jack Daniels can't help you. Hello? Johnny Walker can't help you. Jim Beam can't help you. I ran out of names. Captain Morgan can't help you. But there's somebody that can. His name is Jesus. And he says, listen, yeah, upon me is the Spirit of God without measure. You come to me, I give you some of mine. I will let that water flow into your spirit and I will replenish what the problems of this world took from you. Being without the Holy Spirit's living water leaves you feeling like a barren, dry wasteland. You feel like you have no life, no hope, no joy. You feel depressed, you feel somber, you feel hopeless. What's the answer? Well, I'll tell you what the answer is not. The answer is not positive thinking. The answer is not hypnosis. Probably a couple of vitamins won't be the worst thing in the world. Seeing a psychiatrist is not going to get you anywhere because your problem is spiritual. And in the end, there's only one way that you're going to get it sorted out. You need the living water to start filling you again, and your life will change. Then the anointing comes as a rushing, mighty wind. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, this was the day of Pentecost when the power of God came down, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and the disciples' lives changed forever. But how did it come? It came as a rushing, mighty wind. When the anointing comes in the manner of a rushing, mighty wind, it comes to push open the doors that were previously shut in your life. Let's look at the lives of the disciples. They'd walked with Jesus, they talked with Jesus, they'd ministered with Jesus, but none of them had their own ministry. They were simply linked to Jesus. Every experience that they had up until then was because of Jesus being in their lives, and they shared that anointing. They came under the corporate anointing that worked through Jesus. And it still works that way today. When you work with somebody that is anointed, you start coming under their anointing and you begin to do what they do. But if you move away, the anointing will wear off and you will not be able to do it anymore. When the disciples went out and they cast out demons, it was because of Jesus' anointing resting upon them. When they went out and prayed for the sick and they got healed, it was because Jesus' anointing rested upon them. And you know what? You can't run under somebody else's covering forever. At some point in time, you've got to stand on your own 2 feet. There was a destiny for Peter. Peter was destined to become the father of the modern day church. There was a destiny for John. There was a destiny for Luke. But none of them could enter into that destiny because the door was still closed. It was sealed shut. Until one day when God released the mighty wind anointing. And when that wind came down and it began to shake that place, what nobody saw was in the spirit world, doors began to fly open that had been shut until that point in time. And from that moment on, something that was always inside but was never allowed to come forth pushed through and began to manifest. And their lives would never be the same again. Sometimes Satan does everything in his power to prevent us from opening a door that God has called us to walk in and to walk in victory in. And every now and then God, in his infinite mercy, allows the mighty wind of God to come through. You remember the old story of the three little pigs and the wolf. I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. Well, in a sense, the Holy Spirit can also huff and puff and he'll blow the door open. And once that door opens, you can enter through that door and you can go down the path that God chose for your life. And I know that there are people here tonight that you've been stuck for a long time. You've been standing in front of that door. You've been beating at that door. You've been screaming at that door. You've been kicking that door. Your toes are all crooked and bent because nothing happened. You see, that's a door you can't open. Only the Holy Spirit can open that door. And when that wind begins to blow and starts pushing against that door, I don't care how many demons are trying to keep it closed, it's going to open. And you're going to go forward. Amen? Amen. When the rushing mighty wind of the Holy Spirit begins to move in a place and through somebody's life, it establishes new things. It propels us down God's chosen path. It makes a way where there seems to be no way. And then we've got a different anointing. It's also the wind, but not as strong, not as powerful. It's that cool, refreshing, soft breeze. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we see the creation. God takes clay and he makes a man. The man's name is Adam. But Adam has a big problem. Adam is a glorified doll because he's got no life. He looks the part, but he cannot act the part because there is no life in him. What did God do to give him life? God breathed on him. And the moment God breathed on him, boing, he sat up. Immediately life entered him. The breath, that gentle breeze of God, was all that was needed to give new life to Adam. And when this anointing flows, it brings with it life to areas of your person where death has touched. Adam looked the part, but he was dead. There are many of us here, we got the same problem. Maybe in our mind, we've got an area that has gone dead. Maybe in our heart, we've got an area that has gone dead. Maybe in our life, an area has gone dead. Maybe in your finances, something has gone dead. I don't know. I don't know your life. But I want to tell you something. If you need this life, it comes when the breeze, the breath of the Almighty begins to move. And that anointing comes down. It starts touching the areas where there is death. And just like in the case of Adam, instantaneously, boom, something begins to happen and life comes into that area where death was. A heart broken by betrayal, a soul crushed by tragedy, a mind touched by darkness, insanity, you know, etc., etc. Just let God's soft, gentle breeze touch there and see how quickly life is restored to that area. Then we have the oil anointing. When the anointing manifests as oil, what is one of the properties of oil? Or what is the main property of oil? Somebody help me. Yes, it lubricates. How many of you have ever worked with spanners? Come, there must be somebody here that's fixed a car. All right. Have you ever seen, now and then you get a situation where you get a bolt that's very stubborn, it just doesn't want to move, it won't budge. Then you take a bit of oil, penetrating oil, you spray it. You go and have a cup of coffee, probably you'll have to have two or three. You come back and that same bolt that was stubborn, that wouldn't budge, that wouldn't go, and you were probably going to break it or strip it. Click. There we go. Simple. One or two drops of oil, and what was impossible, suddenly, becomes possible. So one of the greatest attributes of oil is it lubricates that which is stuck. I want to see the hands of everybody that believes that in some way their life has gone stuck. Just wave at me. Oh man, aren't you glad that you're here tonight? If you are stuck right now, probably you need to be lubricated so that something can happen for you to go forward. Many people feel stuck in their circumstances, stuck in their life, stuck in their career, whatever. Just like oil in the natural can move stuck objects, so this anointing can propel you further down your destiny and up to the next level. 1 Samuel 16, verse 11 to 15. So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" There is still the youngest, but he is tending to the sheep. Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. How did the Spirit of the Lord come upon David? The oil anointing touched him. And the moment the oil anointing touched him, the power of God was released in his life. When this anointing came upon David, it changed his life forever. He was instantly transported into a new life with new power and new authority. Before the oil anointing, he was a shepherd. After the oil anointing, he was a king. Hello? How many of you know that that's amazing? That anointing took him from there to there in an instant. It shot him, it propelled him into his destiny. Then we have an interesting one. It's called the wine anointing. No, it doesn't mean that you take a nice bottle of red and you drown all your sorrows. That's where we miss it. Yes, anointing can manifest as wine. On the day of Pentecost, in the book of Acts chapter 2, we read it just now. We know that the power of the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples. And interestingly enough, the people that saw the way that they reacted to the anointing that came upon them was that the people pointed at them and said, "Oh, these people are drunk." What must you see in somebody for you to believe that somebody is drunk? Do they look normal? Because if they look normal, you won't say that they are drunk. So probably they do some stupid things. But I'll tell you what normally happens to drunk people. One of two things. They laugh a lot or they have drunk verdriet. I don't think these oaks had drunk verdriet. I think they laughed a lot. They giggled at everything. They were falling all over the place. Something about their demeanor, something about their mannerisms seemed to replicate somebody that's tipsy. When somebody is tipsy, they make a lot of jokes. They laugh a lot. They're happy. They're joyous. Okay, I'm not talking about people that drink hooligan juice because they want to kill everybody. So just, we're not going there. We're talking about when somebody starts getting mellow and they start getting happy and you can see, oh, this one's had a little bit, maybe just a touch too much. But they get happy. Amen? This anointing brings joy. It brings excitement. It brings exuberance, boldness. And if you compare it, that's very similar to the outworking of wine on many individuals. But without the hangover. And the interesting thing is, what comes from the Holy Spirit is more powerful, it lasts longer, and it's not detrimental to your health, and they won't take away your license if you drive under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's got a lot going for it. Praise God. You know, some people, when they have a bit of alcohol, wine, they suddenly have courage. They suddenly have boldness. They say things that they would not normally say. They take on things that they won't normally take on. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the exact same thing happens. You discover boldness. You have fire. You have vuma in your vila. You want to do things that you never wanted to do before. But it's not destructive. It's uplifting, not destructive. It takes you forward, not backwards. And you don't have to bribe no policeman or do stupid things. Amen? The Holy Spirit can change your life. I want to ask a question. How many of you know that this has been a really tough year? And probably you could do with a lot more joy, a lot more excitement, a lot more exuberance, happiness, fulfillment. The Bible says, do not become drunk in wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, you need the wine anointing to come and touch your life. So what if you out of here tonight? It's fine. The Holy Spirit will still guide you and He'll still direct you. You know, we've sometimes had people come under the wine anointing at these meetings, and for 2 to 3 hours they can't get up off of this carpet. And every time they try and get up, they just plonk down and they start laughing again. Then people say, oh, but that's demons. No, it's not demons. It's the Holy Spirit. It happened in the Bible. It still happens today. Can I tell you why it doesn't happen? Because people don't expect the Holy Spirit to do that anymore. Listen, yeah. God has a brilliant sense of humor. He made people like Tony. I mean, where's Mr. Bean? Oh, there's Mr. Bean. I mean, case in point. God has a brilliant sense of humor, and every now and then He touches us with His sense of humor, and we laugh. I've shared this before, but I want to share it just quickly. You know, some people have a big issue with when people laugh in church. I can't understand that, because you know what? It's probably better to laugh than to cry. Hello? You know, there's a lot of reasons why one would want to cry, but I would actually prefer to laugh. Sometimes it feels like the devil robs us of our joy, and that is one of the things that he likes to steal from us. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, like, when people laugh in church, it's like, oh, it's of the devil. It's disrespectful to God. I don't see that. I can't understand why people think that way. All I know is they haven't read the Bible and they don't understand how the Holy Spirit works. I was preaching in a church in Natal. I can't remember what that area is called. It's somewhere there close to... Yeah, somewhere close to KwaZulu. You're a very clever man. I'm giving you a naughty badge. There we go. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Somewhere there in the Natal Midlands, somewhere. It was a smallish little church, and I was preaching there on the Friday and on the Saturday and on the Sunday. The Saturday, we had meetings in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. So the morning meeting, I just finished preaching, and we were having a coffee break. So I'm sitting there, and I'm chatting to 2 or 3 people. And I tell them a joke. And then I start laughing at my own joke. You know, you should always laugh at your own jokes because sometimes you're the only one laughing. But anyway, so I'm laughing at my own joke. And then something starts happening because I can't stop laughing. And even me, I'm sitting there thinking it wasn't that funny, but I can't stop laughing. And these people are looking at me and they start laughing. I'm not lying to you. Me and the woman opposite me, we both fall out the chair the same time. Doof. And I'm laughing and laughing, and now I'm getting to the point my stomach is extremely sore. Some people come running into the church. Hey, what's happening? What's happening? As soon as they come into the church, they start laughing. The spirit of wine, the spirit of joy began to move in that place. We were supposed to have another session. Guess what? There was no more session because nobody could speak. Well, I couldn't preach in any case because every time I opened my mouth, laughter came out. At one point in time, I was laughing and praying at the same time. Oh, Lord, I've got so much pain. Please stop. God didn't care. Probably He knew there was going to be times in my life when I would need a reservoir of joy. So He gave me a lot that day. Okay. The Sunday morning, I wasn't actually there. The pastor comes in. The drummer is sitting behind his drum set. As soon as the pastor goes and stands by the pulpit to welcome the people and do the announcement, the drummer falls off his chair. Boom. Laughing. The pastor looks at that. Boom. Falls off the pulpit laughing. The next moment, the whole church is laughing. I think initially they just laughed because the pastor fell over. But after that, it was the spirit of joy. There was a man that sat there the Saturday when the laughter touched me first. And he sat at the back of the church and he was judging all of this. This is the biggest load of nonsense. He can't believe these people. This is disrespectful. This is demonic. Wada, wada, wada. He had a fractured leg that for 3 years had not joined. The doctors didn't know what to do for him. They'd done everything they could. He walked in pain all the time. This fracture wasn't healing. While he was sitting looking at everybody laughing, judging everything happening there, he suddenly felt this heat begin to move down his leg. And then in the area where he knew the fracture was, it started getting excruciatingly hot. And then it stopped. And something felt different. He got up and he started walking. He walked normally, without pain, without crutches. He came back on a Sunday to testify. His leg got healed. Can I tell you why? Because the wine anointing was moving and the power of God was flowing freely. Don't you ever judge somebody that comes under that anointing. I'm not talking about a mocking spirit. Sometimes people have mocking spirits. And the laughter is not a laughter of joy. It's like a tartant. How do you say that in English? Yeah, like a teasing anointing, a teasing laughter. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking. Say again. Is your mother-in-law got that spirit? Bring her to church one night. We'll help her. Just don't say the pastor said she has that. You said it. All right, anyway. We looked at a couple of different anointings. Now I want to ask you the question. Okay. So, we know that there are all these different anointings. And yes, we know that they are powerful. And we can see that in the Bible, they had a profound effect on everybody that experienced them. But are they still here? Are they still real? Do they still manifest? And the answer, of course, to that is yes. Acts chapter 2 verse 17. In the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Just touch the person next to you. Does that feel like flesh? Then tell them the anointing is coming. The anointing is coming. In the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. If you're sitting here and you say, oh, but you know what, it's for somebody else, but not for me. As long as you are flesh and blood, you are still breathing, you can receive the anointing. Amen. It's ready for you. Get ready. And then, Luke chapter 11, verse 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks you for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? What do you have to do to receive? Ask him. Does God want to give it to you? He says so in his word. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. There are a lot of things that you can't do without the Holy Spirit. What God put inside of you cannot be released by meditation. It cannot be released by positive thinking. It cannot be released by hypnosis. It can only be released when the finger of God touches you. Who is the finger of God? The Holy Spirit. And when his finger touches, the anointing stays. And when the anointing starts soaking into you, what's inside comes outside. Did God speak to anybody here tonight? Give the Lord a big hand, please. Amen. Praise you, Lord. So, my friend, if God spoke to you tonight and you took the time to come all the way here to spend some time with us and to hear the word, then here's what I want to say to you. The word of God was released tonight to prepare your spirit for what God wants to do. I told you there are many different types of anointings. The same person gives that anointing. It's the Holy Spirit. Some of you need the fire anointing. It's yeah. Some of you need the water. It's yeah. Some of you need the still breath. It's yeah. Some of you need the rushing mighty wind. It's yeah. Some of you need some wine. It's yeah. I don't care what you need. The solution is Jesus Christ. And he operates by the power of his Holy Spirit. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What God did through Jesus, God will do today in your life. So have an expectation. I don't know your life. I don't know where you are right now. And I don't know exactly what you need, but the Holy Spirit does. And you can start talking to God even now. And start preparing yourself to receive from him. Because the word went out. The word prepared the way. And the Holy Spirit is about to come upon your life. Amen? Ah, praise God. All right. Here's what we're going to do now. It's no use I preach to you some nice sermon about the anointing and then I send you all home. Because then we didn't do what God wants us to do. Those different anointings need to be released. And they will be released tonight. So, we're going to take up an offering. And then we're going to have some worship. Oh, Rion, why must we sing again? Because we're talking about the Holy Spirit and the river of God starts to flow when worship is brought before God. So I want to say something to you. Yeah, you know, sometimes people complain, oh, you're low in sing to feel. You sing way too much. No, we don't. Because we understand something that a lot of people don't. Without worship, you have no power. Without worship, there is no fire. Without worship, there is no water. There is no rushing mighty wind. The gentle breeze doesn't go. It's worship that prepares the way. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And yes, then we're going to pray for you. And I want you to speak to God about your need. You know what? Some of you need a bit of life. Some of you need some vuma. Some of you need that joy. Some of you need the fire to come and destroy the devil that's giving you a hard time. I don't care what your need is. Jesus is the solution. He's in the house tonight and he's ready to minister to you. Have some faith. Of course, you can. Praise God. Oh, Georgie, you here? No, I did see you already. Eh? How's it? Say again.
Two rows.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah. Can I ask the people in the first two rows, if you can just bear with us. We just want to move them away because we're going to need to use this space. You are welcome to just find a chair just a little bit back. How's it? How are you?